Welcome to Extreme Faith with Dr. Gerard Curry, Senior Pastor of Christ Family Church in beautiful Port St. Lucie, Florida.
Go with me to 1 Corinthians 6. Come on, turn your Bibles. I need you guys to start bringing Bibles, paper ones as well. Let's start turning into our Bibles. Turn in your Bible. Okay, go with me to 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 17. I'm reading from the Voice Translation. It says here, but when you are joined with the Lord, you become one spirit with Him. Isn't that a hallelujah moment? One spirit. How many of you are joined to God? If you've given your life to Jesus, you are now joined to Jesus. You've become one spirit with Him. Nothing unrighteous in that. Only righteousness. No sin in that. Only righteousness. Wow. The Living Translation says, but if you give yourself to the Lord, you and Christ are joined together as one person. Now, just before that, he's talking about prostitutes and harlotry. If you join yourself to a harlot, don't you know that you're taking Christ with you because you become one with Him? Amen? And so he says, but if you give yourself to the Lord, you and Christ are joined together as one person. The Passion Translation says, but the one who joins himself to the Lord is mingled into one spirit with Him. You're mingled into one spirit with Him. Wow. How does it work, Pastor? I don't know, but I don't really care. All I know is it's affecting my life. He says when a man and a woman come together and they get married, he says the two become one. Paul says it's a mystery, but this is what takes place. The two become one. So when Christ comes into my life, as I receive Him, the two of us become one. His Spirit mingles together with me and we become one spirit. Wow, wow, wow. If you're not getting a little bit excited, you need to pinch yourself. This kind of teaching in our lives will destroy sin consciousness. But you have to know it and you have to believe it. Yeah? Now, if you're having a hard time with what I'm saying, just study it out. Study it out. Read the Bible. Read about what God says, who you are, what you can do. Amen? And listen, few theologians, and I'm telling you, only a few of these theologians have recognized that sin consciousness is practically the parent of all human religions. Listen to this. Sin consciousness, and theologians don't realize this, but sin consciousness is practically the parent to all human religions. Man's cure for sin has been repentance of sin, sorrow of sin, going to church, this is all to overcome that sin consciousness that man has got. Doing penance, come on. Giving money, some people that eases their conscience to give. Saying prayers, this is all religious denominations have begun because of a sin conscious state of mind that people are in. So they do all these things, giving up pleasures. How about the bunch that shave their heads and don't talk? Yes. Come on. God said, say to the mountain. Isn't that true? How can you take a vow of silence when God said, speak to the mountain? Amen. Come on. And this is all because of sin consciousness. We do all those things. Mankind has brought all these things in here. Listen to this. Giving up pleasures. How many people do that to themselves? Going on fasts. It's good to fast and it's good to do all those things in the natural, but this is not going to relieve you from sin or sin consciousness. None of that stuff gets sin away from your life. Listen to this. Giving up pleasures, confessing their sins. Confessing sins doesn't remove sin. I'll explain that to you in a minute. Fighting bad habits. Anyone ever done that? Putting themselves under discipline of self-denial or degradation by neglecting their bodies. A vow of poverty. There are denominations that take a vow of poverty. What for? What is the reason for taking a vow of poverty? You tell me. Is it going to get rid of sin? Does it make you more holy? Does it make you more righteous? Or does it just make you a leech and you have to bum off everybody? And you can't support your kids or your wife or your family, and you can't send them to good schools, and you can't have the best that God wants for His children, not for the world, do you think God would rather have the unsaved living like kings on the hog, or would He rather have His children living that way, full of righteousness and helping the world? What good does taking a vow of poverty do? Anybody tell me? Does it make you more holy? Does it make you more humble? Does it make you more righteous? I mean, some have gone as far as lacerating their bodies. Do you know that? They whip themselves. They jump. One guy jumped into thorn bushes. Martin Luther used to climb up the stairs on his hands and knees to hurt himself. Martin Luther, until he realized it's not work, it's righteousness through Christ. By faith. Can you say amen? My God, my God, my God. Others have taken these long pilgrimages. You see, these guys have to go to Mecca once in their life. They have to take that long pilgrimage. What is this all about? Sin consciousness. It's all there to remove that sin consciousness out of mankind. And not one of those things does it. No work. No works whatsoever of whatever kind, self-denial, repentance, penance, saying of prayers can ever rid the heart of a sin-conscious state of mind. There are two kinds of sin consciousness. One is a man who has never been born again. The man who has never been born again. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. This is God giving us direction here. Don't be unequally yoked, joined together, working together, marrying people. You can get, if you've done that, you can change it and pray God help them and change their life. But he says, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? There, bang, straight away telling you. What fellowship has a righteous person who's born again got to do with a person who's not born again called unrighteous? I'm not saying a God is. And what communion or fellowship has light with darkness? God likens unsaved and saved. The saved to righteousness, the unsaved to unrighteousness. The saved to light, the unsaved to darkness. That's God. That's God. So when you become born again, you get a righteous spirit. That's the only way to get rid of sin consciousness, is about knowing about it. So there are two kinds of sin consciousness. One is a man who has never been born again. The other is the undeveloped believer. And there are tons and tons of undeveloped believers. They're still in the state of babyhood. They're still at that state where they still need milk. They've been born again for 20 years, but they're still needing milk. They're still needing you to massage their throat to get it down. Soft foods. Don't give me any steak or broccoli. Just give me that stuff you give the baby goo 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 on a spoon, or mushy. Pears. Pears. Mushy pear. Remember that stuff? You used to give it to Kanan and Destiny. Remember that stuff, Kanan? You used to do that all the time. But when it was ice cream, bro, you would just hop. Amen. So you get the guy still in that early stages of Christianity, and he hasn't grown at all. He's been sitting having his ears tickled, listening to little sermonettes that make you feel kind of good, but does nothing to challenge you, nothing to change your state of mind, nothing to get you to become who you should be. No power whatsoever. People telling you how bad you are, how much sin you're covered with, that you're a sinner saved by grace, that thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Thou shalt not take another man's wife. We know all of that stuff. Let me know that I'm righteous, and I won't want to do that stuff. If I think I'm a sinner, then I want to do that stuff. But if I know I'm righteous and Christ is in me and I'm in Christ and I've got no more sin consciousness, I won't want sin near my life. Stop preaching about what you can't do and tell them what you can do through Christ. My God. And so what happens, they don't know their rights and their privileges in Christ, and they don't know who they are in Christ Jesus. The two kinds of people that you get. The one is a man who's never been born again, and the other, he's still undeveloped. Doesn't have a clue of who he is, what he can do. You tell half these churches that you can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover, they'll tell you you're nuts. They'll tell you that death died with Jesus or the apostles or the disciples. That you can raise the dead, that you can pray for someone and the prayers will be answered. I'll tell you, you're nuts. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. 2 Timothy tells you that. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. He says, from such kind of people, stay away. Why? Because evil communications corrupt good manners. You'll start believing that. My pastor in South Africa, man of God, it's so powerful. So powerful. He was, he started Rhema Church there. He must have had 20,000 people there. He had a 5,000 seat church. He changed it to 7,000. Just doing miracle signs and wonders. And then he started hanging around with a minister from America. Can't remember his name, so I won't say it. I know him when I see him. And this man started to teach him and tell him that the rapture is, it's a post-tribulation rapture. In other words, at the end of the tribulation, there's going to be a rapture. My pastor was never that. He pre-rapture, which it is. He believed this guy and started changing his theology. And then man started to fall once, twice with woman like this. Just came in. I'm telling you, evil communications corrupt good manners. And evil communication is anything that's against what God said. Do you get what I said? Evil communications is what somebody disagrees with the word of God and they put that in you. That's an evil communications. But God has wrought a redemption that covers every phase of man's need and perfectly restores his fellowship with the Father. God has done it. Through the blood of his Son, he makes you righteous. And righteousness gives you the ability to stand in the presence of a holy God without feeling guilty or condemned. Righteousness, another word they use for righteous is just. You have been justified. Justified. Some people say justified, never sinned. Now, I'm going to continue next week because some of the facts I'm going to give you, I'm going to show you that forgiveness belongs to the believer. Forgiveness doesn't belong to the sinner. I'm going to show you this next week. Forgiveness belongs to the believer. Remission belongs to the sinner. Because if God forgave a sinner without changing him, all he'd have is a forgiven sinner can't come into God's presence. Come on. I'm going to show you next week. Forgiveness belongs to the believer, the born again, because he's already had his sins remitted. And then you're going to find out these guys telling you that 1 John 1:9 is not for the believer, it's for the sinner, how wrong they are. Don't believe everything you hear on TV. Don't believe everything you read in the book. Not the Bible, the other books written about the Bible. I'm playing golf the other day, and I'm playing golf and I get there to give the guy my ticket that I've paid and he's going to let us go off. And he starts telling me, he says, boy, have I got a book for you. It's just the devil. You know, the devil knows how to get in your face. I'm going to enjoy a game of golf. I'm going to pray in a few seconds with my team and we're going to pray and play. And this guy comes to me and says, man, I've got a book for you to read. I forgot the name. But it's by the same guy where he talks about Jesus had children and he had wives. And that guy, same guy, he's written this new book now. He's written this new book. And it's, oh, you got to read this, what he says in this book. I looked at this guy and I saw the devil looking at me through his eyes. I'm not joking. And so you know what I did? I just said, enjoy the book, sir. I'm on my way to pray and play. And we went right in front of him. I said to the guy, let's pray. And I prayed right in front of that heathen, lying, demonic spirits.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Extreme Faith. To hear this message in its entirety, log on to ChristFamilyChurch.net or join us for our live services on Sundays at 10 a.m. in our beautiful Tradition Town Hall facility.
West of Old England, a WCNO corporate underwriter has equestrian and western wear from head to toe for both horse and rider. They are your Wrangler Pro Rodeo and Horseman headquarters. They also have a boot department with Ariat, Double H, Carolina, Justin, Rocky Durango, Danpost, Lucchese boots, along with Minnetonka moccasins and Stetson hats. West of Old England is located in the Brunner Plateau.